Mayor Curry urges everyone to wear a mask to stop the spread of COVID. More JEA controversy as investigations continue. And a little drama in the race for Jacksonville City Council president. Some of the stories making headlines this week. Good Friday morning. We're live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. Just ahead, all of the top stories of the week on our Friday roundtable. You can join us. It's 549-2937. Then later, how Generation W is helping girls on the First Coast cope with coronavirus isolation. But first, it's Friday, and here to discuss a busy week in the news, we welcome WJCT's Sky LeBron here in studio. Hi, Sky.
Hey, Melissa.
On the line, freelance journalist Claire Goforth. Claire, good morning.
Good morning.
And also joining us by phone, our regular contributor and WJCT board member, Charles Griggs. Hey, Charles.
Good morning, Melissa.
So good to have you all with us. Hope everybody's had a good week. Lots to talk about. We'll get to it in a moment, but first, let's look at the COVID crisis by the numbers. Statewide, the Florida Department of Health reports 1,204 new COVID cases Thursday. That makes for a total of 48,675 cases in Florida and 48 new deaths for a total of 2,144. Now, also of note, the State Department of Health recorded 265 new hospitalizations statewide. That's the state's largest single-day increase since the pandemic began. Here in Northeast Florida, we have 2,172 reported corona cases, 75 deaths. Now, amidst all this, and as the state reopens on Thursday, Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry continued to urge people to wear masks in public settings to slow the spread of the virus. Here's the mayor.
This is not something we're accustomed to. So I think maybe there's a disconnect in the importance of it. The importance of it's not about protecting yourself. It's about protecting other people.
It's about protecting other people, Mayor Curry said. That was echoed Wednesday when we spoke with the founder of the global movement Masks for All, Jeremy Howard. His group has sent an open letter to the governors of all 50 states, including Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, urging them to make mask wearing mandatory. Here's Howard.
We organized a letter that has been signed by over 100 of the world's top scientists, addressed to every governor in the U.S., and it says we need mask requirements.
Okay. Amidst all this, this week we saw President Trump visit a Ford plant in Michigan where it is policy and by ordinance everyone has to wear a mask. The president did not wear a mask during most of his time in the Ford plant. The Attorney General of Michigan afterwards said he's no longer welcome in the state of Michigan. We want to begin the hour with a closer look at how cities and states are responding to uptick in COVID by urging people to continue to wear masks and continue to social distance. Give us a call. It's 549-2937 to join us. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJax. And our Facebook page is open. Claire Goforth, let's begin with you. There's no mandate here in Florida to wear a mask. A minority of states do have such a mandate. We do see leaders like Mayor Curry modeling this, though, and that is to their credit, urging people to wear a mask to slow the spread of this disease. The founder of Masks for All told us Wednesday to really cut the spread of COVID down to almost nothing, you would need to have everybody continue to social distance and at least 80% of the population to wear masks when they're out in public. We don't see that in our area, though. Typically, if there's no mandate, only about half the population is masking up. Your thoughts?
Yeah, when it comes to wearing masks, obviously that's what's being recommended. But if we're talking about creating an ordinance that requires it, I think we're going to see some significant pushback from the population. We probably would see more compliance if we didn't mandate it. Further, if we do create an ordinance, we may end up in a situation like we've seen in other cities with such regulations where people in affluent areas are treated one way and people in economically disadvantaged areas, particularly racial minorities, are treated another. I mean, we've seen some pretty horrifying enforcement being taken on people who weren't social distancing or weren't wearing a mask. I mean, the bottom line is we want everyone to be safe, but this is America, and Americans have a very strong sense of freedom and personal liberty, and that will infringe on it greatly.
Charles, what are your thoughts about that? We see the mayor saying he will require employees in government buildings to wear masks when they go back physically to work. But Claire's right in that Americans do have that strong independent streak. The only caveat I would give to that is that the majority of Americans polled do see mask wearing as being considerate of others, and they do support it overall.
Yeah, Melissa, people want to hear and buy into information that indicates that things are, going to go away and life is going to get back to normal. But the truth is, because we're living in somewhat isolated conditions where we have to practice different types of lifestyle measures, and we've been doing that for months now. Many people become comfortable, moving about, unrestricted without these public health prevention methods. And that puts other people in the community in harm's way. And until people decide to accept that this is what we need to do for now or as long as it takes, we are going to continue to be in the situation where we see the data, we see the numbers fluctuate. We haven't really seen a curve. What we've seen is a lot of bumps, and which really indicates that this virus isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, Sky LeBron, let's talk about that. Florida overall has avoided the worst of this pandemic. There are a number of reasons that have been attributed to that, so that's good news. And we do need to give credit to the governor and mayors like Curry and others who've really tried to impress upon everyone how important it is to stay at home when you can, to wear a mask, to socially distance. That's made a difference. Now, that said, as I pointed out a minute ago, cases continue to rise, and we had the largest one-day spike in new hospitalizations yesterday since this whole thing began. So Charles is right. This virus is still very much with us.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing about reopening, and the questions that a lot of people had about reopening. Is that going to then cause a spike in cases as people start to go to stores, restaurants, and just places more frequently? Going back to Mayor Curry for a second, I thought an interesting quote that he said yesterday that I think is really important because of a lot of people have this certain mindset is Curry saying that you aren't weak because you wear a mask. And what he's trying to illustrate there is it's important to know that, you're not showing your soft side if you're choosing to take care of yourself and take care of others by wearing a mask in public, as it seems like that perception and that narrative has kind of been created in recent weeks.
Let's go to some calls. It's our Friday Media Roundtable, 549-2937. In a moment, we'll talk about how the city will be trying to prevent the spread of the virus over the Memorial Day holiday. But first, what are your thoughts about the mayor and others modeling this by asking everyone to wear a mask, to continue to do that if you can? 549-2937. John is in Jacksonville. Hi, John.
Hi, I had a question for the gentleman with Mask for All.
Yeah, we had him on the other day, but go ahead.
So what is the plan for people that choose not to wear a mask? Let's say the governor's okay his letter requiring everybody to wear a mask, and then there's people that just say, hey, I'm not going to wear a mask.
Right. How do you enforce such a thing? Thanks, John. I think it's highly unlikely, first off, that Governor DeSantis would ever mandate that in the state of Florida. But to answer your question, a minority of states, I think about 14, have mandated mask wearing in public places, Claire Goforth. And how you enforce that probably depends on where you are and whether there's anyone around to ticket or fine you. I really don't think it's enforced punitively. Do you?
Well, we have seen some video footage, like I said before, of people being violently arrested for not complying with mask or other social distancing requirements. That has not happened in Florida. And I know of nowhere in Florida where there is an ordinance that makes it somehow criminal or even a civil infraction. With a mandate like that, you're really just, you're going to have to rely on the population to comply with it. You could make an argument that it would be easier to encourage compliance by making moves like Mayor Lenny Curry has to his credit by wearing a mask himself and urging people to do so and, you know, letting the public know that it's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of compassion for your fellow man that you wear a mask, because it's, you know, it's about protecting other people. We know, statistically speaking, that most people are not at a great risk of serious complications. Now, anybody can have serious complications, and we've seen people who have perished who were young and healthy. But statistically, it's the elderly and people with underlying health issues. But, you know, you don't know when you're out and about, even if you're surrounded by people who look young and healthy, there are people in their lives who may have health issues. They may have health issues that you don't, you just can't see by looking at them. And it's really just becomes about trying to make sure that this virus doesn't kill more people and hurt more people.
Charles, you know, it's interesting to get different viewpoints on this. I think the previous caller probably felt like, well, I don't want to be mandated to do this. And certainly there are others who agree with him. That said, in the countries and in the populations where mask wearing is ubiquitous, almost universal, they have managed to slow or even virtually stop this virus in its tracks. In Eastern countries, which have been dealing with viruses in a different way for many years, people go on trains and public transportation wearing masks, even if there's not an active virus. If they have a cold or a flu, they just put on a mask as a matter of course. It's a cultural thing. We just don't have that in this country in the same way. So this has been a very difficult transition for so many of us, right?
Yeah, I mean, the sobering reality, Melissa, is that as a nation, you know, we're going to be going into Memorial Day weekend, and we're during this time, we were likely going to surpass 100,000 deaths over the weekend as a result of coronavirus. Now, if that doesn't, you know, wake you up or, you know, have an impact on you, I mean, it's been less than 3 months, and without a vaccine, we're not going to see the type of mitigation, sustained mitigation necessary in order to arrest this virus, arrest the spread of this virus. So we're asking people, I mean, the government is asking people, people like the mayor are saying, you know, hey, it's voluntary. You know, do it for your neighbor, do it for a family member, because this is the only way right now that we have between social distancing and being safe in public by wearing a mask, protecting others, that we have in order to arrest the situation. The best we can do is this right now. So with that in mind, we hope that people will take that information and use it and not feel like their freedoms are being infringed upon, but to use it as a precautionary measure to help save someone else's life.
Right. It's up to individuals, individual businesses. We should disclose that here at WJCT, where we are limited in our reopening, we do have some people in the building, but everyone who comes into this building is expected to put on a mask. And we have them in a basket at our front door, in our front lobby. Jackie in Jacksonville Beach. Go ahead, Jackie.
Hi. My name's Jackie, as you said. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, my comment is about someone earlier was saying some people think they're weak if they're wearing a mask. Whether there's COVID virus or not, we expect our surgeons to wear masks. If you went into an operation and your surgeon wasn't wearing a mask or gloves for that matter, you would want to be rolled right back the other way. So there's nothing where they're not Republicans, they're not Democrats. They are exactly who they are, and you want them to protect you. And maybe they're protecting themselves as well, but we expect them to wear a mask because it's the healthy thing to do when there's danger of infection. Simply that.
Thanks, Jackie. That's a good point. Wes,
Melissa, you just like what we do with smokers, you know, we see people who are smoking outside And we don't admonish them for not smoking. We hope they don't smoke because we know that it's going to have an impact on their health eventually. But at the same time, if we have an opportunity, we would encourage them not to smoke. So people shouldn't feel put off because we're asking them to protect other folks in the community by wearing a mask.
Wes on the north side. Hi, Wes.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love the show as always. I really think that you could see a big push from businesses. I know down in Miami, I'm not sure what the regulations are, but on my route, we have to go down there and you have to wear a mask everywhere. It's required. Now, our company has implemented a policy that you're required to wear a mask and we're in food distribution. But I think that you could really see businesses come on board with this. You know, if you want to shop here, you have to wear a mask. Like you mentioned earlier, I think that's where you could really knock this out and then you don't get into the individual freedom issue. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a private business is free to do what they want. And if you're going to shop there, you have to follow their guidelines and rules. So that's my thoughts.
Thank you, Wes. A number of businesses, Sky LeBron, have required mask wearing. When we discussed this on the show the other day, we played an audio clip from a video that went viral from a Costco store where a customer was told to leave because he wasn't going to put on a mask and he was complaining about it. And the Costco employee just took his shopping cart and took it away from him.
Yeah. And once again, he kind of, the shopper was saying, you know, I'm not a sheep. I'm not this and that. And that's why I don't want to wear a mask and kind of not realizing that this is something that once again, we get this disease from nasal drippings and then it can spread and stay on surfaces. And just because you're asymptomatic doesn't mean that you can't spread this virus. I think the other thing that is really important to know is what we've seen locally in Wolfson's Children's Hospital most recently, where we've seen a growing number of a COVID-19 related illness that has been infecting some children. We don't know exactly where this is coming from. It's been very mysterious as of late, but it's important to bring up because a lot of people are thinking that this is only affecting older individuals, and really that's not the case.
Dan in Avondale. Hey, Dan. Thanks for holding. Happy Friday. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to make a point. Maybe we don't make this about a culture war or freedom or liberty. Maybe we appeal to the churches. We have a heavily Christian population here in North Florida. This is about as Christian as you can be, worrying about your brothers and sisters' well-being. And maybe that's a way to go rather than make it about something punitive or trying to appeal to somebody's logic. And I'll take my answer off the response off the air.
Thank you, Dan. It is showing care and compassion for others, Claire, to do this.
Yeah. Love thy neighbor, don't spread them the coronavirus. I think the caller makes a very interesting point, and I haven't seen where any of our leaders have tapped in with the faith community to get them to take a strong stance on this, but I do agree that would be a great idea, and it frames it in another way. I mean, when you look at it from a religious standpoint, that could appeal to people who may otherwise be a little resistant and feel as though they're having their liberty infringed on.
Lots of comments on Facebook. Jane writes, the virus enters through my nose and mouth. To not wear a mask is selfish, she says. Please wear your mask. If you're just tuning in, it's our Friday Media Roundtable with Sky LeBron, Charles Griggs, Claire Goforth, and yours truly. It's 549-2937 to join us. And I want to touch on the fact that we're heading into a holiday weekend, Charles. At the beaches, there will be additional law enforcement, fire and rescue personnel out there on Memorial Day to break up any large crowds. So that's something to watch over the holiday weekend. There are more testing sites opening around town. They're at CVS pharmacies. These are by appointment only. The Prime Osborne COVID testing site has shut down, so that is no longer an option, although you can continue to go and get tested at Lot J at TIAA Bank Field. Now, at the same time, the mayor says the city's relief program is continuing forward. Nearly 25,000 households have each received a $1,000 prepaid debit card. And vacation rentals have opened back up in the area as well. So lots to get into there. Let's begin with the Memorial Day holiday. You know, when you go out to the beach, and you go out to bars or restaurants there, from everything I'm hearing, they're packed and they're not necessarily socially distanced.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait and see what type of impact that has on response to COVID-19. But what we'd like to see, we hope that people will take this opportunity to celebrate in a safe manner, given the fact that we are dealing with a pandemic. But people have been, you know, cooped up, isolated, quarantined for so long. You know, they're ready to, you know, let loose a little bit. But no one really anticipated to having Memorial Day holiday, or at least our first holiday under this scenario, approach us and not be able to, to celebrate in the American way. So this is going to be different. We hope people will be safe. We hope they'll wear masks and social distance. But all indications are that some people are just going to go back to normal as if things are okay.
Right. Sky LeBron, public health experts fret about that here in Florida, even though we haven't seen the horrific death tolls of some other states. They do worry about this, that if we get too relaxed too soon, we're going to be seeing more hospitalizations, more deaths.
Yeah. And it's interesting to note that, you know, a lot of healthcare professionals and experts are saying there's so much that we don't know about the effects of this, how much it spreads, and overall, there's just not that much common knowledge about this, as opposed to a lot of people have kind of acted like everything's been figured out and we've already beaten it. So it takes a group effort over the next couple months or however long it takes to be careful and considerate of each other.
It's 549-2937. How will you handle Memorial Day weekend this weekend if you're out and about? Anne is in Atlantic Beach. Hi, Anne. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just going to share that my husband and I are older, and we just ride around in the car. We don't go into the restaurants, but we were riding in our, we love Atlantic Beach, and so we, the little town, so we were riding through and on Friday night, and it was packed, and not one single person, and all mostly young people, had a mask on. Not one single one. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, maybe they're all in families, you know, maybe that's why. I cannot understand the mindset. You can share all you want about wanting people to wear masks, but if they don't want to, they're not going to. So
yeah, and I'm sorry that you're going through that. So so how much longer do you think it'll be before you feel comfortable going into establishments where there are people in big groups?
Oh, I think it'll be into June. I mean, toward the end of June, because I mean we're so vulnerable to this virus.
Yeah.
So we're trying to be very careful. And we love going out to eat. We just love the restaurants down there, but there is just no way. And someone told me they went in one of the restaurants, and it's a popular one that we love, and none of the staff had on gloves or masks. I mean, they don't have to have gloves, but people in the restaurant didn't. So I just don't think that message is taking.
Not getting through, yeah. Thank you, Anne. Thanks for your thoughts. Eva tweets the show or emails the show. She says, I went to a restaurant in Five Points. My waitress didn't wear a mask. When I asked why, she said, because it's not mandated. I will not go back there, she says, anytime soon. And when you talk about churches, Anne tweeted the show, Bishop Estevez, that's the St. Augustine Archdiocese, has mandated that everyone wear masks to Mass, and my church will not allow anyone into the building without one. Jim tweets us, for employees of businesses and municipalities, they need to make masks part of the PPE requirements in the written safety program. All right, let's go to a few more calls. Kathy on Amelia Island. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Melissa. My husband and I both have compromised immune systems, and he has just finished 45 treatments of proton for prostate therapy. And so he feels very worried about going. We haven't gone into restaurants. We've picked up food from various places. But I'm a mild asthmatic. It's a matter of life and death for a lot of people. Look at the 90-some thousand people who've died already of this. This thing is serious.
Yeah, Kathy.
I think it should be mandated. I'd love to see it mandated. I love what Costco has done. I like the idea of the other day on your show, no shoes, no shirt, no masks, no service.
Thanks, Kathy. Claire, we've heard on the line just now from a senior citizen who feels very vulnerable and someone who has an immunocompromised person in their home. That, you know, those two populations in particular, I think we just need to be more mindful of right now.
We do. And I mean, you know, to speak from personal experience, I lost my sister in the swine flu pandemic of 2009 and 2010. And, you know, she was 32 years old with a very mild case of asthma. This disease similarly can strike down people in their youth who do not think they are at risk of dying from the disease. You know, the questions you will ask yourself if you've been through an experience like that is, how did they get it? Who was the person who passed it on? I mean, you can't really blame people for that in the swine flu particularly, because we had no sort of mask mandate and it wasn't a pandemic anywhere near the scale of this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if people would realize that they're putting so many others at risk when they go out and they don't wear a mask and they don't wear gloves and they don't abide by social distancing, you know, just think of the human cost of your desire to be just a little bit more comfortable. I mean, that's pretty selfish when you look at it that way.
If you're just tuning in, lots of calls this Friday on our media roundtable as we talk about the upcoming Memorial Day weekend, how you will hopefully practice social distancing, mask wearing, and not going into large groups when you enjoy the three-day weekend. Chris in Avondale. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Wonderful, wonderful. Hey, I was just really, I travel a lot to three cities, New York, London, and Chicago in high frequency. And I think one of the major...
Lucky you, except for New York right now.
I don't know about all. Right, exactly, where I have lots of family. And I'm here to tell you that it's very, very scary because I think one of the false fences of security that we have is that we don't depend on public transportation and masses. Like as crowded as some things in Jacksonville can get at times, it's never on the New York or London level, never. So we don't crowd like that. We don't depend on transportation. So it's very easy to be lured into this false sense of security. Add to all the talking heads and every conceivable place that you can get information from, and here we are, you know.
Yeah, so, you're so right, Chris. You're so right, and I so appreciate you bringing that up, Chris. Safe travels when you get back out there again. Thank you, Chris. That's Chris in Avondale. Charles Griggs, I don't think it can be overstated how much our car culture in Florida has protected a lot of us. You don't have to get on most people, although there are some people who take public transportation, but the majority of people are out there in their cars. And if they want to, say, roll through a drive-through to get something to eat, that's very different from getting onto a train or being jammed in with lots of people in an enclosed space, which is what you see in the cities to our north and overseas that Chris mentioned.
Yeah, and it can't be understated that you know what a great job JTA has been doing, because that is our one main mode of public transportation here locally. I know I feel safe in my car. I haven't, you know, personally, I haven't ventured out too far away from home during these last 2 months. But I do, when I'm in my car, I do feel very safe. I don't feel like anyone else can infringe upon my cocoon, so to speak.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, Melissa, it is unfortunate sometimes that feelings of invincibility outweigh concerns for the vulnerable. And, you know, and as, you know, as we continue to try to deal with this pandemic, you know, one of the things that people misunderstand about the virus is that it's not the virus that kills you. It's the complications from the virus. People believe that that COVID-19 is the thing that takes you out. It's not. It's usually connected to a pre-existing condition that you already have. So like we mentioned earlier, there are other complications, other respiratory complications, heart disease, diabetes, and so forth, that can exacerbate a person's ability to recover from the virus and thereby causing death or maybe severe symptoms. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to be concerned about going forward, is that how we protect our community.
George is on the South Side. Hello, George. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yes. I just wanted to say that, you know, me and my family, we're staying at home and barbecuing at the house because a lot of people are not adhering to the guidelines. I mean, but when you think, you know, you have, you know, your president, your vice president, as well as your governor not wearing masks in public spaces, you know, it sends the wrong message. So a lot of people are not adhering to it, to include a lot of companies. And it's still not safe, even though that the regulations are relaxed. The virus is still out there, and so we're taking every precaution to protect ourselves, because a lot of people are being selfish and not really realizing, you know, the what can happen if they don't wear masks, you know. So we're staying at home.
Well, you have a good barbecue, George. I'm sure it'll be some really nice barbecue. And be safe. Yes. Thank you, George. I'll just take one more call on this, and then we'll move on to some other news of the week. It's Yvonne, also on the South Side. Hi, Yvonne.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to share my experience. I had a couple routine lab tests that I needed done through my doctor. And when I went to a local commercial lab establishment, the signs on the door say, you know, wear a mask, but when I went in there, neither the receptionist nor one of the people in the socially distanced waiting room was wearing a mask.
Mm.
And I asked at the desk, because it made me pretty uncomfortable, I said, do you have masks here for people that might have forgotten theirs? And she said, no, we don't. Sorry.
Oh,
wow.
I
feel vulnerable because I've been social distancing and staying away. I've got a 92-year-old aunt that I'd like to see again someday, and people like that are starting to make it impossible for some of us.
I'm sorry, Yvonne. Sky, as we mentioned, this is up to individual businesses. And the thing that's frustrating, I think, for people who are consistent about wearing their mask and they encounter people without one is the person without the mask is potentially endangering the person with the mask.
Yeah, and she brings up a huge point, which is you have to walk it and talk it. You really have to be able to showcase that just because you're going to put up a sign at the front of your business, you also have to be able to follow through, make sure that employees are doing the same and trying to keep people as safe as possible, because other people that maybe don't feel like it's important or don't feel like it's necessary to be wearing a mask at that point, then they can add to their argument by saying, you know, look at these businesses. They're not doing the same. So why am I going to go to the store and do something that the people that are working there aren't even going to do?
Well, as I mentioned, just to fully disclose, at WJCT, everyone is required to wear a mask as we have a limited reopening of this building. And that includes the other nonprofits that are housed here in our building. If you come in to WJCT, you will be asked to put on a mask when you come into our lobby. But we do want to move on and talk about some other headlines for the week right now here on our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry said nobody in his inner circle at City Hall ever lobbied him on the sale of JEA. Here's the mayor.
There's a former mayor. There's a former chief of staff from the previous administration. But here's what I can tell you. None of those people in any scenario lobbied me or my office on that issue. And they're private business people that were engaged by private entities.
As the mayor says that, this week we learned that NextEra, the parent company of Florida Power and Light, did employ former Lenny Curry administrator Sam Moussa and Curry campaign consultant Tim Baker. A federal grand jury is investigating potential criminality around JEA's push to sell to a private bidder like Florida Power and Light. At the same time this week, JEA suspended chief administrator Herschel Vineyard and gave him the option to either resign or face an investigation. Vineyard is refusing to step down. Claire Goforth, full disclosure, your spouse works at JEA. What do you make of the mayor saying he was never lobbied by anyone in his inner circle about this?
Well, the mayor can say what he likes, but the reality is he just doesn't have credibility on this issue. This has been going on for years. The first push to sell JEA a few years ago, it looked from what the reporting came out, some of which I did at Folio Weekly, may she rest in peace. His explanation didn't add up. He kept saying that he had nothing to do with it, but it just wasn't believable then, and it's not believable now.
Charles Griggs, the mayor is adamant that he never tried to place his thumb on the scale in this whole matter. His comments about the potential privatization of JEA were neutral for most of the drama, although a couple of times he did say he was in favor of it. There is a federal grand jury that's active. There's also a city council investigation into this. This week, we learned that former interim JEA CEO Melissa Dykes is saying she'll only speak to federal investigators, not the city council committee.
Well, Melissa, there are many people out there that don't really see the mayor's comments prior to all of this coming to light on JEA as neutral. Many people felt like that this was an opportunity for the city the sale of JEA was an opportunity for the city to clear its debts and to move forward in a different type of way. What stands out to many people is that a lot of these people, Musa and Baker, are very much connected to the mayor. And logically, you can't see how information would not be discussed at any point in time or lobbied or engaged, whatever you want to call it, at some point. I mean, you have to be, you really have to use some common sense here. But now the mayor and his people are going to say, we didn't do anything. There was nothing done illegal. And that still stands to be determined. But a logical person would really sort of come away with the fact that if all of these people worked together in a close manner over a long period of time, information had to be exchanged somehow. So it remains to be seen whether that'll be something that comes up in the city council investigation or a federal probe or whatever. But at the same time, you really cannot sit there and say that none of this information wasn't discussed at some particular point in time. It just doesn't make any sense. If the administrators at JEA were talking, if everybody was in the room, someone had to be saying something.
The federal probe has demanded all encrypted messaging app communications, Sky, between top JEA executives, former JEA CEO Aaron Zahn, and staff senior leadership at Jacksonville City Hall. Whether we'll ever learn what those messages potentially contained is very much an open question. Grand jury proceedings are secret. And if there are no indictments, we may never learn the full scope of anything that transpired or whether there was a criminality. As that is all being investigated, at the same time, the bonus scheme that JEA tried to bring off, I think, has kind of gotten lost in this discussion. But that is also a subject of the federal investigation that former JEA leadership, Zahn and others, tried to enrich themselves in selling off JEA to, say, a Florida Power and Light. The top executives would have stood to gain many millions of dollars of taxpayer money in the event of a sale.
Yeah, and just talking about that messaging app, Signal, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if anything ever comes out of that. And like you said, we're seeing that the short-term incentive plan is also being looked at and thought about being changed. We're seeing some potential changes that City Councilman Ron Salem is trying to make to the short-term incentive
yes.
plan as well. The long-term incentive plan obviously had a lot of drama about it. And going back to what you were saying before and what Charles was saying before, you have to go back to that baseball game where all of them are caught on fan cam. Atlanta. Yeah, there is Tim Baker.
Curry and his brain trust. Yeah,
yeah, there is Sam Musa. You see Scott Wilson, and I think
Jacksonville City Council president.
Yeah, well, current, and then we're going to see that change very soon. I think that is also something that's going to be very interesting to look at as now the city council presidency is going to be changing hands.
Speaking of which, there has been a bit of drama this week. Thanks for teeing that up, Sky. In the race for president of the Jacksonville City Council, Republican Danny Becton launched a late-in-the-game campaign for the position, challenging Democrat and former Jacksonville Mayor Tommy Hazzouri. Mayor Curry has let it be known he favors Hazuri for this. It's a bit of an inside baseball thing to talk about, Claire. These folks hold the presidency for a year. But this is just something for City Hall observers to watch.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Hazuri has been long an ally of Lenny Curry, so it makes sense that Lenny Curry would be in Councilman Hazuri's court on this. Councilman Hazuri is also seen as having more connections as a former mayor, more ability to work the levers of the legislative system. Danny Becton, I have found him to be a principled man over time, but I just don't think he's going to be able to drum up the kind of support he's going to need to overcome somebody with Tommy Hazuri on this.
Yeah. And Charles, as that plays out, this committee investigating JEA is continuing its work too.
Yeah. And it's going to be complicated by the fact that Melissa Dykes is not going to testify to the committee based upon advice from her counsel. That is, as it reported by AG Van Karski, it's not one of those things that people were expecting that would hinder this investigation. Up to now, everyone who they've asked to come before the committee has been showing up, and great information has come out of those testimonies. But this is going to be one of the things we have to watch here is whether this will give others a path to not show up and participate in the committee's investigation.
I want to make note of one other story today. According to a new report in the Times Union by education reporter Emily Block, a Jacksonville teacher who sparked inclusion training in the district for anti-LGBT remarks continued posting homophobic memes on social media. The district is now investigating. That is something to look at. You can check it out at jacksonville.com. One other note, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar is visiting the COVID-19 testing site today at downtown TIAA Bank Field. He'll also participate in roundtables and meetings with local healthcare leaders to learn about how Florida is working to slow the spread of coronavirus and reopen safely. Watch out for that later today. And I want to thank all of you so much for being with us. Charles Griggs, Sky LeBron, and Claire Goforth. Guys, have a great holiday weekend. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Melissa.
Much more still ahead. Up next.
We know our youth, our girls in particular, everybody's anxious. Of course, there's a lot of boredom expressed. And it's amazing how all of us, but especially girls, have this longingness to connect with their friends.
Connecting young people to each other in this pandemic, Generation W is hooking them up virtually. We'll take a closer look right after this here on First Coast Connect. Don't go away.
North Florida TPO, proud sponsor of WJCT's First Coast Connect, bringing to the community innovation in transportation planning, commuter services, clean fuels, and intelligent transportation systems. More at northfloridatpo.com.
Cavendish Partners PA and Michael Cavendish, a law practice supporting Jacksonville's business community, downtown, by appointment, and on the web at cavpartners.com.
The longer this crisis goes, the more we learn about how it compares to our past. A month ago, I wouldn't have said it will get as bad as the Great Depression because the factors that have caused this are so different. But now I'm not so sure.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. The lens we're using to look at our economic past keeps on changing focus on us. We'll tell you more next time on Marketplace.
This evening at 6 here on 89.9 WJCT.
COVID-19 is largely a lung disease, but doctors are also seeing deadly effects in the blood. I'm Ira Flatow, this week on Science Friday, but doctors are learning about unusual blood clotting and how they're trying to respond. Plus the plumage mysteries of the flightless aggressive cassowary. It's a story about evolution on Science Friday from WNYC Studios.
This afternoon at 2 here on 89.9 WJCT.
Connecticut becomes the final state in the country to lift restrictions. Testing increases, but so does a death toll that's closing in on 100,000. And Michigan comes under renewed attack from the president and the weather. I'm Celeste Headlee. It's the Friday News Roundup, next time on 1A.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, kids and young adults have been isolated from their friends for months now during this pandemic, just like all of us. And girls in particular have anxieties they're dealing with in lockdown. Generation W is working to connect girls here in our area with each other virtually and spark some new connections, too. I spoke about it with Gen W founder Donna Orender. Take a listen. Donna, good to talk to you.
Melissa, always, always.
It is so great to have you on the show. Let's bring everyone up to date on what Generation W is doing for teenage girls right now, because they can't meet in person as you had been doing. So what's happening?
So, you know, listen, we know our youth, our girls in particular, everybody's anxious. Of course, there's a lot of boredom expressed. And it's amazing how all of us, but especially girls, have this longingness to connect with their friends. And so we made a pivot rather early in the process and decided to bring our WOW clubs into the virtual realm, and we have WOW clubs online every Friday at 4 o'clock. And actually, at this point, we welcome girls from all across the country, and they have been popping in and out and have had, we've just had amazing people join us to share stories, but really, I think the specialness about it is this really welcoming, safe space that girls have to share their thoughts, their ideas, and their concerns.
And they have a lot of anxiety. You know, we have two teenage girls at home right now. They're healthy. They're safe. But they're dealing with the stress and anxiety of this pandemic, too. What are the special needs and problems you're seeing in girls?
Well, as like I said, I think, first of all, the idea of the unknown for all of us is impactful, and especially for them. They can feel it from everywhere around them. For sure. And that gives them a level of anxiousness and anxiety. And because even though a lot of our kids are digital natives and they communicate through their phones, they have lived in a very high-touch world. And the fact that they are removed from that high-touch world as well also creates a degree of anxiety. And then there's just the whole thing about growing up. They're not stopping growing up or facing life challenges or opportunities or wondering what their next school year is going to be like or whatever. So all of those things come to play in the wonderful discussions that are had with these girls.
And you're bringing in some great speakers, too, to kind of mentor them and give them
support. I've had several of my favorites, but I don't know. We've had Blakely Stein, and Blakely lives literally in the jungle of Costa Rica. And it was all about daring the dream. And she hooked in with us on Zoom. And it was so exciting to hear from her directly about her life. And answer a lot of the girls. You know, we have this other project that's coming out called the Truth Project, because we ask girls, like, what would you ask women if you knew they would tell the truth? And that was a big caveat, right? Because generally, they're not going to tell me. But yes, if they tell you the truth. And this is a place where they get truthful answers, very, you know, unvarnished, kind of authentic, genuine connection. And that goes a long way in building these relationships over all these weeks that have been going on. In addition, we like the girls to kind of own their own space as well. So we talk to them about their ideas. So we've done things on colleges. We've had WOW graduates come and talk to them about that. And we've, I don't know, the programming continues to evolve with them, which I think is also one of the very exciting things.
And you want to get the word out, Donna, so that more girls can be part of the WOW Clubs. They're every Friday at 4 o'clock, and they're online now. So how can moms and dads get their girls involved in your WOW Clubs?
Yeah, that's great. And the summer's coming up, too. We're going to go for a little lesser schedule, but yes. It's at info@genwnow.com. info@genwnow.com. We actually got a call, an outreach from Charlotte, North Carolina, who's asked us to put together a program for their girls, some of their girls in that city. And here we've had girls from Boston, Maryland, Colorado, New York join us. But
nice.
There is certainly room. Yes, it's nice, but there's certainly room. We know a lot of girls here. We also have involved in our ongoing mentoring program. To engage more here would be wonderful. info@genwnow.com.
Reach out to Donna Orndorff, the founder of Generation W, and the WOW Clubs are just an amazing resource for girls. I think it's wonderful, and I'm so pleased to talk to you about it and get the word out. And be safe, be well, my friend, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, same to you, Melissa. Same to you. And listen, if your girls are looking for something to do, send them our way. We'd love to spend some time with them.
Again, that's genwnow.com to get your girl hooked up in that really cool program. And that is our program. Thanks for listening this Friday. Thanks to all of our guests and callers, too. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Josh Torres is show director. Our station news director here at 89.9 is Jessica Palumbo. Bill Bortsfield runs digital. And we always want those emails. Keep them coming to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. And make sure to tune in today at noon for the Florida Roundup, our statewide look at all the biggest news of the week from around Florida, including the ongoing issues with unemployment in this state, plus problems with the COVID-19 health database. Now, Monday is Memorial Day, so we'll be back here again in Studio 5 at 9 a.m. Tuesday. Whatever you do out there this weekend for the holiday, enjoy yourself. Enjoy your family and friends. Have a great time. But do be safe. Do socially distance. Do wear masks. Do avoid large crowds. Be considerate of others. I'm Melissa Ross. We'll see you Tuesday.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.